before I do that. Apologies if I look a bit tired. I've spent the last 3 days with my 4 grandchildren down in Tidworth, which 4 of them, 9, 7, 6, and 2.5, is quite a lot for 3 days. But we do crafts when we're down there. We were doing Christmas crafts a bit early, I know, but they love doing them. And I brought out a book that I took down last year to show Oliver, and it's a book of the Christmas story. One side is a jigsaw, and the other page is a bit of the story, and it goes through. And last year, when I showed it to Oliver, I did share, he was being told at school, he was telling me the story about how they'd been told about Jesus. This year, I showed it to Amelia. She's just turned 6, and she wanted to do the jigsaw, and then I was reading her the story, and she started telling me about how they're being taught about Jesus and the Christmas story already in school. And she was telling me what about Jesus. And she said, he's a lovely man, isn't he? So I said, yes, he is a lovely man. I talk to Jesus every day. So do I. And he does help. She said, yes, I know. So all these little seeds. I mean, when we do open the book, you know, we've got years 1 and 2 up to year 6. You never know what seeds you're planting in. You may not even realise that you're planting in seeds and nothing much help happens, but there's always something there, and it stays in them somehow. So when we do open the book, we feel very blessed that we're doing this, because the children join in and sometimes they laugh, but it's a story that Andy Carter does. He's brilliant, because he does all the actions and he's got us doing all sorts of different things. I mean, I was Hezekiah on Wednesday, lying on a bed and getting up again. But I didn't fall off, so that was all right. But, you know, it's something that the children will do, and if they're being told about it, and I don't think my grandchildren go to a faith school, so it's just an ordinary school, but they are being told about Jesus, which I thought was lovely. So that made me feel really good. Anyway, the first reading is Jeremiah 14, verses 7 to 10, and then going on to 19 and to the end of the chapter. Although our sins testify against us, Do something, Lord, for the sake of your name. For we have often rebelled. We have sinned against you. You who are the hope of Israel, its saviour in times of distress, why are you like a stranger in the land, like a traveller who stays only a night? Why are you like a man taken by surprise, like a warrior powerless to save? You are among us, Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us. This is what the Lord says about his people. They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet. So the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. Going on to chapter verse 19. Have you rejected Judah completely? Do you despise Zion? Why have you afflicted us so that we cannot be healed? We hoped for peace, but no good has come. For a time of healing, but there is only terror. We acknowledge our wickedness, Lord, and the guilt of our ancestors. We have indeed sinned against you. For the sake of your name, do not despise us. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us and do not break it. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, Lord our God. Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is from Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who are confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
The next reading is taken from Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8 and 16 to 18. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As Andrew just comes up to preach, we'd just like to say a prayer for him. Sovereign Father, we thank you for the word, the short notice word you gave to Andrew as we were left in a bit of a situation, and we thank you for what has been put on his heart, and let us, let everyone have open minds and hearts and souls to your word, in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Earlier he told you that my talk this morning is, what is it to be righteous? Well, my dictionary describes righteous as morally good, acting in a moral way, virtuous, morally justifiable. Actually, personally, I think it should also say lives living right with God. We didn't have the collect today read out for a very good reason, because I asked if we could leave it in the sermon. And it's quite a good starting point. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the correct comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. So what we can learn from the book of Jeremiah and today's reading? Well, Jeremiah is perhaps one of the best known prophets in the Old Testament, but he's not the most popular because he's always having a go. You could say he's a bit depressing. He's really telling the people of Judah and God off. He's telling them off. And it's for a very good reason, because they had drifted away from God and were not in the right place. The first reading we had, the verses before, we learned that there's a severe drought with parched and cracked ground, empty water tanks and cisterns, and animals dead lying around. We've seen it in the TV pictures from Ethiopia in the past, haven't we? And as you might expect, the people cried out to God, and you can sense their desperation in confessing, our backsliding is great. And in their questioning, have you rejected Judah completely? And for the sake of your name, do not despise us. Quite simply, their unfaithfulness had gone on too long. They'd wandered away, as we heard. And the end result was that Jerusalem was sacked and the people were taken into exile in Babylon. The reading from Paul's letter to Timothy is completely different. It's a real strong contrast. It's written towards the very end of Paul's life and his ministry. He says, the time has come for my departure. And this is at the end of the letter. And he's really going into sort of a mentoring mode to the guy he regarded as being his, like his son. And it's giving a testimony to try and pass on that goodness, what you want to pass on like to your children. You want them to hold some of the things that you really like. You know, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, if you know your Bible at all, we know he had severe opposition. He was arrested on several times. They had stonings. They had beatings. He'd been in shipwrecks. He'd been in danger. He'd been hungry. He'd been cold. But he persevered. He'd got to the finishing line. And his faith had kept to proclaiming the gospel. But in the second part of that, really, we can sense some of the initial pain. At my first offence, no one came to my support. That must have been felt hard. But everyone deserted me. But there was a reason. The Lord stood at his side so that the message might be proclaimed in full and the Gentiles might hear it. So if he hadn't been arrested and taken in, his word wouldn't have got out to other people. And it's followed by some real words of encouragement for Timothy in his ministry. I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Now, understandably, Paul has confidence that he'll be brought safely to heaven and receive a crown of righteousness. Our reading from the Gospel of Luke is a parable where there's misplaced confidence over righteousness. We have two characters going to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, a religious man, and the other, a tax collector, who was rather despised at the time because they were accused of siphoning some money into the back pocket as well. Now, the Pharisee clearly thinks too highly of himself, and his prayers are triumphalist and full of pride. I thank you, I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. He obviously followed following rules. There was no requirement to fast twice a week, but he did it. And his giving of the tenth of his income for tithing was fine. That was great. There's nothing wrong in that. But what was wrong was his heart, his justification, and his motivation. And where in his heart was any humility? The other guy, the tax collector, is somewhat different. He recognises his failings, shortcomings, and probably the things he has done that he wished he hadn't done. And he's confessing, seeking mercy and forgiveness. There's no haughty arrogance, but instead downcast eyes and the beating of his breast as a sign of atonement. I just wonder if Jesus' listeners would have been shocked that it was the tax collector who was justified, because outwardly the Pharisee was the right man. What about us? Well, I hope none of us become like the people of Judah who turn their backs on God and only come to him in trouble. We are very unlikely to suffer the type of deprivations or dangers Paul suffered. But I suspect that all of us have probably already had difficult times or events in our lives where our faith has been tested. And that, to be honest with you, there'll probably be more testing, difficult times ahead. We don't know what they are, but they will come. We're never going to be as fruitful as Paul. None of us can be a Keith Rush who lightened up every room. Because we're all different, we're unique, but we can all use our gifts and talents and time in God's service. 2 weeks ago, Ian spoke about guidance and the five CSs. The first one was commanding scripture, and the college reminded us to read, learn, and inwardly digest the Word of God and the Bible to be our guide as to how we live our lives. But like with the Pharisee, there are pitfalls. I know that I have to be honest with myself about many things. It's so easy to be judgmental of others, to look down on them, to have not give people the benefit of the doubt, but just see their faults. And sometimes it's quite easy to find that you don't have the humility that you wish you had, and that pride had crept in, or that not having the level of grace that one should do. Churches can also be prone to pitfalls. You know, sometimes we can be too comfortable, not having compassion. But the truth is, our journey is a marathon and not a sprint. I believe it's essential we are honest before God and also eager to have a deeper, closer relationship with God. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And after a passage about not worrying, he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. There's an active role, but it's also one of relaxing and allowing the Holy Spirit to work. Now, we are blessed by having the hope of eternal life. And when we are right with God, we can have the same confidence that Paul and Keith Rush held of being raised to glory to receive a crown of righteousness. The subject which has been on my heart the last week, it's come on a few times, it's about letting go. I've heard it from two or three sources, where people have held hurts or experiences that have really held them back in their life. And I'd like to say a short prayer now. So if you just close your eyes, I just want you to just, if you have things, I shall give some prompts, but I want you to think of things where perhaps you've held on to things that have not been good for you, that have not been of God. Perhaps there have been words spoken to you in childhood, some criticizing words that just structured and influenced your life. Perhaps words at school, you're never going to be good enough. Perhaps words by someone in church. Perhaps you need to let go of the feeling of shame that you've had of words that you hadn't said, things that you'd wish you'd said to a loved one who's departed, things you'd wish you had done. Things you'd done that cause pain. Perhaps you need to let go of things that you've held on to that give you false security. A false sense of worth. Come, Holy Spirit. Heal each one of us. Take away those barriers which hold us back to being completely the person that you made us to be, from having a true, deeper relationship with you. Anything that's in the way, Lord, just wash it away. Come, Holy Spirit, wash through us. Cleanse us of anything which holds us back, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew, for that. I just wanted to say, while Andrew was talking, I had a vision come. And it was of a circle, like a tyre or wheel. And in the wheel, there was something spinning round. And the wheel came with little clasps around it and grabbed to that. It was as if we're holding on to things that we need to let go of. So, if that speaks anything to any of you, please do come and speak to me when we're having tea and coffee and cakes later on. That'd be lovely.